We were learning Bava Basra, and we were discussing two days ago, whether there's a mitzvah kura by nefel, if a woman gives birth to a stillborn baby, whether there's a mitzvah kura, and the Magen Avraham has the machlokes. So I just got this sefer in the mail. It was just printed recently and covered somebody's chasana. This person met me once at a wedding, and every time he puts out a sefer, he reprints old svarim from hundreds of years ago. So he's nice enough to send me a copy, and they're all good svarim. So I just looked at the sefer last night, and he has a whole tshuva about this, whether there's a chiyuv kura by the phone. He doesn't bring our tesis. He quotes Magen Avraham and Nadi Yehudas and other Marmakim. So if anybody's interested, Degel Menashe. Okay. Okay, Parshas Vayeshev. Medrash has an interesting comment on the opening pasuk. Vayeshev Yaakov Eretz Megurei Yoved Eretz Kenan. The word Megurei means in the same land where his father lived, in Eretz Yisrael. But the Bereshis Rabba has an additional level of interpretation, that it's Miloshin Geirus, to be Megayer. That just like Avram Avinu was Hanefesh Asherosu B'choron, Avram Avinu was Megayerus or Anoshim, Isore Megayerus as Anoshim, so too Yitzchak and so too Yaakov. They were all involved in proactively preaching monotheism to the world. They were going around and preaching until Yaakov Avinu had all of his children. So then the Medrash says, then he stopped. Then the Bnei Yisrael are supposed to act as an Or LaGoyim, a light unto the nations. That's a pasuk in Yeshaya, was supposed to be Or LaGoyim. And the Gemara says in the first Perek in Megillah that every idea that appears in Nevi'im, any idea that appears in Nevi'im or Ksuvim, appears in the Chumash also. So where does it appear in Chumash? That the Jewish people are supposed to serve as an Or LaGoyim. Perhaps the Mokar is the pasuk in Kisavoy that says, V'halachta b'drachav, we should go in the ways of Hashem. And we said several times, why do you have to go in the ways of Hashem? Sometimes a child imitates a doctor. The little boy makes believe he's a doctor. So he makes believe he's taking your blood pressure or your heartbeat or something. Someday he may become a doctor. A little girl makes believe that she's a mother. So someday she probably will become a mother. A boy makes believe he's an engineer on a train. When I was a little boy, I always used to make believe I'm an engineer on a train. I didn't become an engineer. Okay. But why should we imitate the ways of God? God is going to retire and we want to take over. Why should we imitate? The answer is no. A person shouldn't act as if he's somebody whom he is and he's going to get a nervous breakdown. You have to be who you are. Can't make believe he's somebody else. But we all have within us Tzelem Elokim. Kadosh Baruch Hu created all human beings with Tzelem Elokim, Jews and non-Jews. Al pi pashtus, chaviv adam shnei b'tzelem. Bottom Lamokim means an extra degree of Tzelem Elokim, but everybody has Tzelem Elokim. So that's what the Pasuk commands us for Halachta B'Drocha. The Rambam has, in the Minyan on Mitzvahs, the Rambam has the first mitzvah is to believe in God, second mitzvah to believe there's only one God, then to love God and to fear God, Aves Hashem, Yiras Hashem. And then maybe Tefillah is next, number five, and then is for Halachta B'Drocha, to imitate the ways of God. That's, I think, mitzvah number six, very high up on the list. Why should we imitate the ways of God to preserve the Tzelem Elokim that we have within us? So the next pasuk reads, V'alachta b'drachon in Parshas Kisavot, then it says, V'ro kalam he'aretz, and all the nations of the world will see that, Kishem Hashem nikra lecho, that you have succeeded in preserving your Tzelem Elokim, that Shem Hashem nikra lecho, V'yoru mimeko, they will learn from you how to act with Yirah Shamayim. They can do the same. They can also preserve their Tzelem Elokim and act with Yirah Shamayim. That's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon, that's the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Mara has a Pshat, V'ro'o Kalam Eretz, K'shem Hashem Nikra Lecha, refers to Tefillin Shel Barosh, the Yorim Imekos, and when the Goyim see that we're wearing Tefillin Shel Barosh, they'll be petrified from us. That's why the last Lubavitcher Rebbe had a Mivtza HaTefillin. He tried to get all the soldiers in the Israeli army to wear Tefillin, so that the enemy would be afraid of them. That's a drasha of the Torah Sheba'al Peh. That's an additional level of interpretation. That's not Pashup Shat in the Pasuk. So they quote in the Sefer Ha'Deres Eliyahu, which was written by Talmidim of the Gro, they quote that the Gro said this Pshat, It's a hemshech from the halachta b'drachov. You should preserve your tzelem alekim by going in the ways of Hashem. And the Jewish people will serve as an or lagoyim, and not b'kumbi asay, not to go proselytize b'kumbi asay, to be proactive about it, like Avram and Yitzchak did and Yaakov was in the beginning of his career. But after all the Shvatim were born, then we mind our own business in Eretz Yisrael. We raise our children, we raise our families in a beautiful way. And the Medina is supposed to show the world honesty. Unfortunately, there was a chief rabbi who sat in prison, and there was a Rosh HaMemshalah who sat in prison, and mayors and members of Knesset sit in prison. So we're not doing the job that we're supposed to. There are scandals all over the world by Jewish people. Unfortunately, terrible scandals all over the world. We're not doing such a good job at this, but that's what we're supposed to. We're supposed to be an Orla Goyim. We're supposed to mind our own business and do things properly in such a way that the Umas Olam will chap the spilus and say, what a wonderful nation this is and what a wonderful country. We should make our country, we should have our parliament should imitate the Knesset. The day, we hope the day will come that that'll happen. He said, that's what the Medrash says on the Loshon Megure. Is Miloshen the Gayer. Then the Torah tells us, Vayovi Yosef is the Bosom Ro El Aviyah, that Yosef told the father, the Loshen Hara, about the brothers, that they were doing Averis. What Averis were they doing? So the Medrash says, all different things, whatever. What happened to the Yisra Loshen Hara? Isn't that a terrible thing? Why was he telling Loshen Hara? So the Gemara says in Psochim that if somebody sees that a Talmud is doing something improper, and he thinks that by telling the Rebbe may have an influence on the Talmud, so then it's not an Issa Lashon Hara, then it's L'Toelus L'Habo. Or if you tell a child is doing something improper, so you tell a young child, so you tell the parents what the kid did, so the parents will be able to have an influence on him. So that's what Yosef, Ayyubi Yosef, is the Bosom Royal Abiyam. He told the father Lashon Hara about the brothers, that the brothers, the father should straighten out the brothers. Father should have an influence to straighten out the brothers. You have to be careful when you tell over a Loshen Hara that the Elis Lapo, so the Chofetz Chaim gives you all the conditions. You have to be careful not to exaggerate, not to say things worse than they are. So one of the Gedolim in Europe writes in his Sefer on this Pasuk, why does it say, Vayyobe Yosef is the Bosom Rolavim? He should say, Vayagid Yosef. So he says, Vayyobe means he just presented it as it is. He didn't say it in his own words. He presented it without being magzit. Otherwise, it'll be an Issa Loshon Hara. Like this, it was a Terelus L'Hava. So the Pasuk says, V'Yisrael lo havas Yosef mikol banav, ki ben zikunim hilo. Losa loks on espasim. He favored Yosef more than the others. And then the Pasuk says that that's how all the trouble began. That's why the other brothers were jealous of Yosef. So the Gemara says, in the first parak in Shabbos, the Pasuk is condemning Yankov that he did wrong. You're not allowed to have a favorite child. Because look at all that the Chumash describes. Because Yankov Avinu showed favoritism to Yosef, that's why all the sinner came. And they sold Yosef, and all the trouble, all the whole machlokes came from that. So you're not allowed to do that. The Pasuk is telling us we shouldn't do that. Then he had his two chaloimas. So the Gemara, in the end of the last parak in Maseches Brachos, the Gemara has complete sukkis about chaloimas. We assume that chaloimas are echad mishishim v'nevuah. But ain't chaloim b'loi dvarim b'teilim. So like over here, the second chaloim that he told the brothers, Hashemesh v'yirech v'chadasok kachavim mishtach v'imli. So Yaakov Avinu said, your mother died already. Your mother is not alive, so the chaloim is dvarim b'teilim. So that wasn't, that's what he rebuked the Yosef. But the truth of the matter, Gemara said, because ain't chaloim below dvarim b'teilim. If you have a real nevuah, so the whole nevuah is clear. If you have a chaloim, that's a mitzas nevuah, so there's always going to be, you have to figure out which part is the dvarim b'teilim and which part is the nevuah. So the part about the mother, that was the dvarim b'teilim. Gemara has a lot of discussions in the Perek Haraya, the last Perek in Brach is about Chaloimus, so we assume that the Chaloimus are Miktsas Nevuah. They quote the famous comment in the name of the Vilna Gaon, also in that there is Haleo, HaMaloch Timloch Aleinim, Mashol Tim Shalbonim, What's the double lashon? So a melech is appointed by the nation. And a moshal means he rules over them against their wishes. So he told him, the brothers were upset about his dream. So they told him, you think we're ever going to accept you as a king? You're not even in mashalti. We won't even allow you to balabata over us. Even shalom yirtzaneinu. Neither will happen. Not hamalach timloch and not hamashaltim shalbanu. Then the father sends Yosef to see what's doing with the brothers. Lechna re'eh shleim achech v'shleim hatzon. So he was doing a mitzvah of kibirab. The father sent him on a shlichas. So don't we have a klal that shluchim mitzvah einim nizaykim? So the Gemara says in the first perikim sochim, hechad ishchir hezeko, that klal doesn't apply. Here the brothers were so upset with Yosef that this was considered shchir hezeko. What does it mean, Shri Chazeka? Pashtus is, that means it's a miyot hamotzoi. If there's a miyot hamotzoi, the Ramban has a famous klal in the beginning of Chulin, it's both in the Chidush HaRamban as well as in the Mohammed, it's practically word for word the same. He says, let's say, when you eat vegetables, so sometimes vegetables have worms. So are you mechuyev to be boidik to see if you have worms or not? Can you rely on the roif? Roiv, it depends what the vegetable happens to be. If the roiv or the vegetables don't have worms, are you permitted to ignore, are you permitted to close your eyes and just eat the vegetable or not? So the Ramban says a klal, if it's a miyot hamotzui, then you mukhiv to be boidek. And the same thing for treifas. There are 77 different kinds of treifas that an animal may be osav achila. And we only boidik for sirchas on the lungs. Vanishtana, why is sirchas on the lungs different? So the Ramban explains, because sirchas on the lungs is much more common than the other treifas. If you have another treifa that's a mir tamotzi, you'd be mukhiv to boidik for that also. Now, so Reji used to give a hashgach on the slaughterhouse in Boston. What did he do that for? It's interesting. His father used to teach in yeshiva, and she was a bitzkoch hanam. And after the father died, so the policy of the yeshiva was they didn't pay the almana any money. So she would be left without any parnasa. So they asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, he should give a shiur. So he asked them, they should please tell his mother that the policy of the school is that they continue to support the almanas as long as they live, which they didn't. And he won't take any salary at all. But he had to travel back and forth to New York every week. So he had to take on another job. So he took on this job to give the hashgach on the slaughterhouse. That's what people said over. Interesting story. And his mother lived for many years after the father. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to give a yahrzeit shiur every year on Gimel Shvat on his father's yahrzeit. His mother used to come to the yahrzeit, I think for 30, 40 years. She outlived the father 30, 40 years. So when he gave the hashgach on the slaughterhouse in Boston, he came to the realization that in the springtime when the animals graze outside, so the young calves are not smart enough to know that they shouldn't, they would nibble on anything, so they would nibble on the corral, the wooden bars in the corral, and there would be nails in the corral, so they would swallow the nails, and the nails would go through the kishkes, and they would make holes in the intestines. So a hole in the intestine is also a trefa. And he said that was also over 10% of the young calves in the springtime had holes in their intestines because of these nails. So he said that it's not a halacha mash mesina that you only check for sirchas on the lungs. Whenever it's a mitamot, so you have to check. He was following the Mishkanas Yaika. Mishkanas Yaika was from the early Talmidim of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, and Volozhiner Yeshiva. So Mishkanas Yaika claims that Mir Tamotzi is if it's 10% or above. And he said that the Sirchas, he used to be Mekel a lot on the Sirchas whenever possible. He used to use all the Kulas on the books, and he had the Kulas from the Balatanya, from the first Lubavitcher Rebbe has in the Kuntra Sacharin. He wrote a Shulchan Aruch. So in the Kuntra Sachan Yeridei, he has additional kulas. So he would use all those kulas, and he used to come up with 14% of all of the behemoths that they shechted had sirchas on the lungs. He used to say that the glat kosher slaughterhouse that he didn't give the hashkacha on, glat kosher, only had 9% sirchas. How is that possible? He's mekel on everything under the sun, and he had 14%. How can it be that it's glat? Glat kosher means that you're not mekel on the sirchas, that it's smooth, glat. The kula on the sirchas is that if it can be rubbed off easily, so it doesn't have a din of a sirchas. So you make all more. How could it be glat kosher is only 9% if with all the kulas it's 14%? So he said it's not glat kosher, it's glat treif. He didn't trust the rabbanim who gave. They were characters, and at that time there were big characters that gave hashgachas. They weren't reliable. So so he followed the Mishkan as Yankov, that 10% and above is considered niyatamotzer. So he said that the holes in the intestines because of the nails that they chewed on, is also niyatamotzer. It was also over 10%. So he said you have to be boidik for that. I think I may have mentioned that many years ago when I was in Eretz Yisrael, that he gave me a tour of Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim. And they showed me all the things that I would be interested in seeing. So they showed me that they put a magnet about so big, a metal magnet in the stomach of the animal so that when they swallow nails, everything should get caught. It does make a hole on the throat going down to the stomach. It does make a hole in the stomach. It starts to make holes in the intestines after the stomach. So if you have a magnet in the stomach, so all of the nails will be caught on the magnet. It won't go vipers. I don't know how they got it in the stomach, that they didn't explain to me. But they showed me two magnets, one next to the other. So one magnet was sparkling, brand new, wasn't used yet, looked beautiful, pretty. The other one was used already, full of nails. It picked up all the nails, and it was filthy and dirty and black. It wasn't sparkling and cheerful anymore. But it did the job. It prevented all the animals from becoming nekuas, neka the nebnei meyayim, which is a treifim. Anyway, Rabbi Yashiv used to be machmer 7% and above, because in Eretz Yisrael they keep records. When they shecht, they keep records for over 100 years in Eretz Yisrael, for many years. When they shecht, what percentage of the animals have sirchas on the lungs? So he said in Eretz Yisrael, in different countries it's different percentages. So he said in Eretz Yisrael for many years the percentage was 7%. So he said that medrash that the Ramban quotes, that you have to be boidek for sirchas, and the other treifas you're not boidek for. So he said maybe the medrash was written in Eretz Yisrael. Probably was written in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe. And in Eretz Yisrael, maybe in the days of the Tanaim, and the days of the Amorim, maybe it was also 7%. So that's why he thought that maybe the Tamatzah means 7% chance. Let's say if you buy a suit, you have to check the shatnas. So you have to ask the shatnas people, how often did they find shatnas in this kind of a suit, whatever the company is. Whatever, Malano. So how often did they find shatnas? What percentage of suits did they find shatnas? So if it's 7% or above, or 10% and above, and you are buying such a Malano suit, then you have to be bodek for shatnas. So it's less than, if it's a mere chain of matzah, so strictly speaking, you're not mechuyev. For $5, why not? Why not check, even if it's a mere chain of matzah? But strictly speaking, you're not mechuyev to check if it's a mere tamatzah. So the Pashta says that that's the same over here. The Gemara says Shchia Chazeka. The Pashta says Shchia Chazeka means a mere tamatzah. If it's a 10% chance or a 7% chance that there's a sakana, then you shouldn't have gone. So that's what the Gemara says. Hechad Shchia Chazeka. You don't apply the rule of Shluch HaMitzvah Einen Nizoikim. So the brothers were considering killing him. Very, very strange. The Mefarshim give pshatim here. So Reuven, Vayish Merum Hayatzileum Yodam, he wanted to save them. Said Lan Akel Nefesh, Hashlichu Asal Abar Hazeh, and he planned to come back later and to free him. So there's a famous medrash, where the medrash says if Reuven would have realized that the Chumash is going to write down his intention, he would have carried him on his shoulders. He would have fought with the brothers. That It's a mitzvah mefarsem, oisei mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. The Gemara says that we learned the Gemara in the beginning of Bava Basra. Really, more correct is to give matmasesa, to give tzedakah privately and not to publicize it. But sometimes it's a mitzvah lefarsem oisei tzedakah. Sometimes it's a good idea to put the name of the donor. Someone gave millions of dollars to support a yeshiva, to put his name on a building, put his name on an Aron Kodesh, or on a Parechas, or whatever, however much money he gave. You know, I can put his name on a building because he gave a $100 donation. If he gave a few million dollars, then you put his name on a building. Why do you do that? In order to encourage other people, that they'll realize that they can also give money. To encourage others that they should do the same. So that's what the Medrash says. If Reuven would have realized that he's going to go down in history by Atzilei Miyodim, he would have done better. He would have done even more. He would have carried Yosef on his shoulders. He would have fought with the brothers. He didn't realize that it's going to become a foursome. We should all realize like that. Whenever you do a mitzvah, whenever you do the right thing, it'll become a foursome. So they were so upset about the Ksainas Pasim. So they took it and they told the father, they found the Ksainas Pasim. The father ripped Vayikras Begodim. Father ripped kriya because he thought that Vayikra Yaakov Simloisam, he thought that his son was dead. Vayisabal bano yamim rabim. Vayimayin lihisnachem, they were trying, the children all tried to be menachemim. Vayimayin lihisnachem, why? So the Medrash says, because you can't, there's a gzera men ha-shamayim that on a meis, yamikabal tanchumen. We'll forget about the mace ultimately, and we'll be able to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us all a koyach hazikaron and a koyach hashikcha, and everyone should have selective memory. We should remember all the happy things and forget the aggravating things. The Baruch Hashem gave us a koyach that we have the ability to forget the fact that someone died. That's only by medvar mumim if he died. But ein mekam tanchum al alachai over here, he didn't die. So this gzera min hashamayim, that people have the ability to have selective memory, to forget the aggravations, to forget the fact that Yosef died, didn't apply because he didn't die. That's what the Medrash understands over here. By Yevko Osava, the father was always crying over the death of his son. Yeah, Yehuda was the one who came up with the pshara. Instead of leaving him in the bor, Yehuda said, why should we kill him? This was a pshara that he came up with. They had thrown him in the bor. The Gemara says the bor was if it says it was dangerous to remain in the bor. So Yehuda said, I came up with a compromise, let's sell him, so he won't be in our way, he won't be annoying us, but we won't be killing him, he won't be responsible for killing him. So the Gemara says Yehuda was the sort of the most respected of all the brothers. So if he would have said, let's forget about the whole story, take him back to the father, they would have listened to him. So why did he make a compromise? So the Gemara in the first Perek in Sanhedrin has a comment, Ubatzeh berech ni'etz Hashem. One who praises the one who makes a compromise, or Batseya Berech, one who gives a bracha to the one who made a compromise when there was a dispute, that's Niyat Hashem, that's a Chil Hashem. Yehuda said, Ma Betza, Kinarikas Achina. He did a Betza, he used the Lashem Betza. So you shouldn't praise Yehuda, he deserves to be condemned because he could have saved Yosef completely. You should never compromise with evil, you should never make any compromise. This was wrong, the brothers were wrong over here. Not allowed to compromise with evil. So the Gemara says that if Reuven would have realized that it's going to become a foursome, he would have carried him on his shoulders. And Yehuda made a compromise. He was wrong. Reuven was wrong. He should have done more. And Yehuda was wrong. He shouldn't have compromised. They all should have left him alone and shown. So because Yehuda did wrong by suggesting the compromise, and that's why it says, Ve'yered Yehuda me'esechav. So you had a Yerida. That's how the Medrash understands. Ve'yered Yehuda me'esechav had a Yerida, and he did improper things. the pasuk says that he married and he had three children. The first child says Vayikra Shmo Er. The second child says Vatikra Shmo Oina. Third child says Vatikra Shmo Sheila V'Hoya B'Chzib L'Idito Oso. Who has the right to name the babies, the father or the mother? Sometimes that's a big family feud. So the Daz Kenim Ebali Ataisu says on this pasuk that the first child that says Vayikra, that the father gave the name. The second child that says Vatikra, the mother gave the name. So you should alternate. First father, then the mother, then the father, then the mother. The third baby, it says Vatikra, because it says V'hoi B'chzib B'lidat Osai, because Yehuda wasn't there. He wasn't in town when she gave birth to the baby. If Yehuda would have been in town, he would have had the right to give the name for the third baby. You should alternate. So that's what some, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, after the Lubavitcher Rebbe passed away, so they published many of the letters that he wrote. Kovetz Igoris, okay. And then they have like a Shadus of Chuvas. They took all the letters that have halachic, halacha lemaisa things, and they put it like four volumes of Shadus of Chuvas. So he has there in the letter, someone, one of his chassidim asked him, who has the right to name the baby? So he quotes this Das Kenim Bali Atosis on these psukim. I don't know, somehow, and Rav Soloveitchik said that when he was born, so Rav Chaim was still alive. I think Rav Soloveitchik was around 15, 16 when Rav Chaim passed away after the First World War. So Rav Chaim came to the mother in the hospital and he said, Al pi din and al pi minig, that's what Rav Soloveitchik says, Rav Chaim said, Al pi din and al pi minig, she has the right to name the baby. I don't know what that means. Al pi din and al pi minig. She has the right to name the first baby, not like this, that's Ken and Bali Atosis. Rav Soloveitchik would say he was the first child born, and his father gave him the name Yosha Ber after the Beis HaLevi, the father of Rav Chaim. So he says, what's the kasha? That's what Rav Soloveitchik would say. He was the first child born, and he was named after his father's father, his great-grandfather, Beis HaLevi. What's the kasha? The student didn't know what's the kasha supposed to be, a kasha. So the kasha is the mother should have the right to name the first baby. So he says, because Rav Chaim came to his mother in the hospital, and he said, Al Pidin and Al Piminik, she has the right to name the first baby, but he's asking her a toiva, that it was many years, more than 15 years after the death of the Beis HaLevi, and no one was named after him yet, Yosef Doiv. So he asked her that he usually didn't want to serve as a sandik, at a bris, but he promised her that if she'll name the baby after his father, the Beis HaLevi, he'll be the sandik at the bris. Why did he want to be the sandik at the bris? Because they say on one occasion, the mother did a bris and the baby died. In rare case, the baby dies because of the bris. And the sandik was part of the murder. Sandik was holding the baby down, that the mother should cut him up. So Rav Chaim didn't want to be the sandik. He was afraid maybe the baby will die and he'll be partially responsible for killing the baby. So he said he usually doesn't serve as sandik, but in this case, if she'll do him this favor to name the baby after his father, Beis HaLevi, he'll be the sandik. So the mother said, okay. Then when it came to the bris, Rav Chaim disappeared. So he didn't serve as the sandik. So what did he promise her? I don't know. The whole story is strange to me, but that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to tell over that story. But over here they say, from the Pesukim, the Azkenim says that the father has the right to name the first baby. I didn't name any of my babies. My wife carried all the 9 babies for 9 months. She gave all the names. She gave each child 2 names. In my family, everybody only has 1 name. My wife gave each child 2 names. And then my cousin used to teach here in the college. He was the head of economics, Aaron Levine. He died very young. He died around 15 years ago. He died pretty young. He died kemat on the same day that he was born. He was born the night of the... I think it was the same day. He was born the night of the first Seder, and I think he died on Pesach. Tzadik kemat, Kodesh Baruch Hu Malach Shem Seder, was a big Talmid Chacham, and he put out a few books on economics and halacha, interesting svarim in English. So his wife had a baby the same day my wife had a baby, and his father-in-law was a Rebbe, you know, RJJ, Rabbi Rashavchik, famous Talmid Chacham, passed away years ago. So he recommended to my cousin that he should give 2 names to the daughter, because when it comes to shidduchim, sometimes the girl has the same name as the mother-in-law, so they'll be concerned about shidduchim. So she gave two names. So as it turns out, he gave the exact same two names that my wife gave to my second daughter. The girl is still not married, I think. His daughter is still not married. Yep. So the Torah tells us that the first son of Yehuda died, and then the second son also died. Rabbi Eni Hashem. What do you mean, Rabbi Eni Hashem? So the Medrash says that he violated Hatzar Zera Levatolo. According to that simple pshat of the Pasuk, Hatzar Zera Levatolo is an Issa Derais. The Poskim say it's an Issa Derabanan, and that's not the, that's a drasha, but that's not the correct pshat. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they have this machlokes. How serious is the Issa of Hatzar Zera Levatolo? So, Tamar was first married to the first son. And then this, after the first son died because of his averus, Rabbi Eni Hashem, she had Yibum by the second son. And then he died, so she wanted to have Yibum by the third son. And Yehuda said, he's too young, wait till he gets a little older. And really, Yehuda didn't plan to let the third son marry her because he was afraid of katlanis. Maybe the Gemara has this whole discussion about katlanis. How many husbands have to die by this woman that she should be, it should be a suffix sakana, that if you marry this woman, you're going to die. What is this suffix sakana all about? So the Gemara is not sure. Is it because maybe there's something physical by living with this woman? She's transmitting some sickness. Sometimes it happens, or is it maybe min hashamayim gzeira that this woman should be an almana? So that's why it's not a smart idea. The Gemara has machlokes whether betrezim nihave chazaka, betlazim nihave chazaka. We paskan trezim nihave chazaka. Yeah, what's this din taka dat katlana? So the Rambam, I think in the Tshuvas of the Rambam, he quotes the Rimi Gash. That whole Gemara about katlanis is all baba maisis. That neither concern is what to worry about. The Gemara has a whole discussion two times, three times. For those who are concerned, how many times does a husband have to die that there should be a concern? But you don't have to be concerned at all because the whole thing is not a din. You don't have to worry about the whole thing. Yeah, usually the post can find kulis. I have a cousin, I have a female cousin, who is married for the third time. Her first husband was a yeshiva bacher who had a heart condition before she got married. So he died young from his heart condition. They had a few children, he died young. So then her second husband was a teacher of hers who was 30 years older than her. So he died in his old age. She never had any children with him. He died in his old age. He was retired already, and he died in his old age. So then we knew this cause of death. The first one had a heart condition before he got married. The second one was an older person, so he died. So then she married a third person. She lives in Eretz Yisrael. She married a third person who was a Russian oled, and he was a religious fellow, and he had a job. So my uncle said she finally married a normal guy. The first husband was sitting and learning in the koil. Second husband was retired. The third husband, she finally married a guy, has a job, a religious man has a job. So she lives happily ever after, okay? She lives in Tzfat. Yeah. Usually the post can find kulas by katlanas. And they're always mitzarif that the Rimagash, that the Rama quotes the Rimagash, that there's nothing to worry about. Anyway, the whole katlanas is not lalo. For the Gemara sounds like, for the Gemara Shulchan Aruch sounds like it's a real din. The real din of katlanis, but the Rambam writes the Rimagash that you don't have to be concerned about it. So Tamar wanted to have Yibum from the third son, and Yehuda didn't let. He was afraid of katlanis. That's the simple pshat. He was afraid of katlanis. That's a discussion that the poskim have. Maybe shluchim mitzvah einim nizayk. Maybe you don't have to be concerned. Maybe katlanis, but makam mitzvah yibum. Maybe you don't have to be concerned about katlanis, but makom mitzvah. So that's a machlokes in achrayim and shulchan aruch. But usually by katlanis they have a lot of kulas. So the pasuk says that she may believe that she was a prostitute, and Yehuda came and was with her, and then she became pregnant. And then she said she charges money for her services. Matitin li kisavo elai. What are you going to pay me? So he said, he'll send a gidi izim in atzon. He'll give her a behema. Esnan zaynam. He'll give her a behema. Esnan zaynam. So she says, I want a raven. I want a security. So he gave her chasam chavsid chamatcha shebi adecha. And then when he sent the shliach the next day to send the gidi izim, so they couldn't find the... Where's the prostitute who was here yesterday? They said, they never have a prostitute. It was only one time that she wanted to have children from Yehuda's family. That's what they say, the Kodeh Matan Torah, the mitzvah of Yibam used to be observed not only by a brother, by the father-in-law. There was no, by Bnei Nech, there's no Iser to marry a father-in-law. By us, it's an Issacharis to marry a father-in-law. But Kodeh Matan Torah, they had the din like Bnei Noach. So there was no Issa. So on this pasuk, there's a famous story. I remember a few years ago, I was in Atlanta for a Shabbaton. And I was staying at the home, I slept at the home of a certain fellow who graduated yeshiva. And he had learned by Rabbi Reichman all the years that he was here. So he remembered this story that Rabbi Reichman told over on this pasuk. That the story appears in the Sefer Derech Pikudecha. Derech Pikudecha is a Sefer. It's a Sefer HaMitzvah written by the author of the Bnei Yisoscha. Bnei Yisoscha v'Achsidus HaRebbe. Rabbi Shmuel HaDinever. Rabbi Tzvi HaMelech Shapira. He was the Rabbi HaDinev. So he wrote Chassidus Svar, Bnei Yisoscha is a Chassidus Sefer. He was told by his Rebbe that he was from Shevet Yisoscha. How did he know? He had Ruach HaKodesh. So he called the Sefer Bnei Yisoscha. And that Rebbe, when he lay in Kriyas HaTor, he used to pronounce Yisoscha. He pronounced it different minhagim, but he pronounced it Yisoscha or Yisoscha. We spoke about it, or up until Parshas Pinchas, you pronounce it Yisoscha, and after Pinchas, you pronounce it Yisoscha. So the Rebbe told him he's from Shevet Yisoch. They call the Sefer Bnei Yisoch. But he has another Sefer that's Halacha, Derech Pikudecha. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it in one place, a din for the Derech Pikudecha. So the Derech Pikudecha is a Sefer HaMitzvahs, but it only conks out in the middle of Mishpatim. It only goes 50 some odd, 55 mitzvahs or so. Chassidim are not sure whether he never wrote the rest, or he wrote the rest and it was lost, but that's all they have printed. My father had a Derech Pikudecha at home, and how he got it, it was printed in Shanghai when the Jews ran away from the Nazis and they stayed in Shanghai for a couple of years, so they had a print for them, the Bnei Yeshiva. So they printed Gemaras and they printed Rambams and they printed the Sidurim and Chumashim, and then for the Chassidish Talmidim, they printed some Chassidish for them. So my father had a copy. I don't know how he got it. My father wasn't in Shanghai. My father was in America before the whole war started. So my father had a Derech Pikudecha that was printed in Shanghai. So in the Derech Pikudecha, he quotes this Chassidish and Maisa, that once, he tells you which Rebbe, I forgot about it. There was a Chassidish Rebbe who's going to say Torah by Shalashudas in his village. So a Misnagad decided he's going to go hear the Rebbe's Torah. So he lived on the other side of town. So he walked through the Goyisha neighborhood, separating between the Chassidim and the Misnagdim. He walked through the Goyisha neighborhood and he went to hear the Rebbe Shalashudas Torah. So when the Rebbe started to speak, he got upset. The Rebbe got upset. He said, the Noyev should please leave the room. They didn't know who he was talking about. Who's the Noyev? There was nobody. Who was the Noyev? So they were all looking at each other. Who is he accusing of being a Noyev? So he said, over this pasuk, where is this nusi? Somebody walked here from the other side of town And when he was walking through the Goyish neighborhood, the Goyish women, it was springtime, the Goyish women were half undressed. And he was looking at the Goyish women. So that's why he's referring to that person as the Noyev. So the Misnagid was the one who walked from his side of town to the other side. And the women were taka half undressed. So the Bnei Yisoschar quotes this in his Sefer. So this, when I visited this fellow in Atlanta, I stayed by him on Shabbos. From all the things that Rabbi Rachman told over, that's one of the things that he remembered. Interesting. It's an interesting story. So then she became pregnant, and then it became Hukah Rubra. It was Hukah Rubra. The Gemara says like that. 3 months into the pregnancy, it'll be noticeable that the woman is pregnant. First 3 months, you can't tell. After 3 months, Hukah Rubra. What's the relevance of declaring that it's Hukah Rubra after 3 months? So the Gemara has a din based on that assumption. Ben Sora Mora is only Chayiv Misa if he steals from the father and he buys wine and meat and so on. And he can only, so he's only if he's after Bar Mitzvah. If he's a Kotan before Bar Mitzvah, Kotan's a La Baronchen. And he's only a Ben Sora Mora the first 3 months after his Bar Mitzvah. Why only the first 3 months? Because it says Ben Sorerimara, Ben Veloy Av. The din only applies, let's say he's already 85 years old, and his father is 105 years old, and the kid steals from him. The kid, he's 85 years old, steals money from his father, and he drinks with a chevra of gangsters. So there's no din of Ben Sorerimara there. Why Ben Veloy? He's already a father, he's a grandfather on his own, he's 85 years old. So the Gemara says, after 3 months, he's already Ben Veloy Av. Why? Because he's a royal Krosav. The day of his bar mitzvah, a kotna is eino moilud. Before bar mitzvah, we assume that he can't make a glimorism, that a child before bar mitzvah is not roi lahoilud. And the day of his bar mitzvah, he could have gotten married and he could have made the wife pregnant. And after 3 months, it would have been hukah rubra. So after, before 3 months, not. So again, so the Gemara says there are two pregnancies. That's what the Ritva said. He doesn't know what the Gemara is talking about. That's a 7 month pregnancy and a 9 month pregnancy. So the Gemara says a pregnancy should really be 1/3 of the pregnancy should be hukah rubra. So if it's a 9 month pregnancy, then it'll be hukah rubra after 3 months. If it's a 7 month pregnancy, so it should be hukah rubra after 2 months and 10 days. Shlish yameha. So why don't we say lekula? Indeed, in the Foshas, you always establish the dinim, you always bend over backwards. We say the Yitzilu Eda. The Yitzilu Eda in the Niyog of the Sanhedrin, we always bend over backwards to acquit the person whom we're judging. And you bend over backwards in darshaning the psukim also. So why do you say that Ben Veloyav means ben, even if he's not a father yet, Ben Velo Haroy Lekroso Av, and he could have got married the day it was bar mitzvah, and it could have been hukah rubra. Hukah rubra is already called the father. Hukah rubra is already called roi lekrosoav. But he could have married a girl who's going to have a 7 month pregnancy. The Gemara says no. The klal is that you go basa roiv and darshanik psukim even in the case of din nefashos. That klal that you go basa roiv, you always establish a din based on the roiv. The Ramban has that also in the beginning of brachas. He says the Gemara darshans on the pasuk, you should recite Kriya Shema. B'shiftecha beveisecha v'lechtecha v'aderech. So what does that mean? Why does it say b'shiftecha? Why does it just say b'shevis v'abayis v'alechas v'aderech? Why v'alechtecha? Gemara says b'shevis didoch v'alechas didoch. If he's oisik in a mitzvah, so you learn out from those two chops. Chav Sofis b'shiftecha v'lechtecha. That oisik b'mitzvah is potter min ha-mitzvah. Why do you need two psukim? One pasuk would have been enough. So the Gemara explains now the one din is if you actually oisik b'mitzvah potter min ha-mitzvah. The second pasuk, b'leches didoch b'sheves didoch. So the other pasuk tells you achosin laila harishon he's not doing the bi'ah rishoni yet because he's nervous about doing the bi'ah rishoni. So achosin laila harishon is potter min kriyashma. I consider. Oisik b'mitzvah potter min ha-mitzvah because he's nervous about doing the mitzvah. The Rishonim have it like this. When they would travel to go learn in the yeshiva, so sometimes it would take a few days. So they say when they're traveling to go to the yeshiva, oisik ben mitzvah, patim ala mitzvah, they would be shaken up. Not like today, you go by plane, or you go by train or by car. It's not so shaky. But they used to go on horseback, whatever, so it was shaken up. So you can't be mechaben, you're going to have to relax a lot before you'll be able to say kriya shma with kavanah, before you'll be able to daven shma nesri with kavanah. So some of the Rishonim write, Maharachar Zerua quotes this, and his truvis, the name of the Balei HaTesis, when they would travel to go learn in the yeshiva, they wouldn't daven. Shachar's bin Chai, they wouldn't daven all the days, because oisik ben mitzvah, but they're not oisik in the mitzvah, they're going to learn. That's also called oisik ben mitzvah, just like the chosn, there are two psukim. Shift the chah, belech the chah. So if you're actually oisik ben mitzvah, you put them on a mitzvah. Or if you're nervous about, if you're shaken up about preparing to do a mitzvah, that's also called oisik ben mitzvah. So the Ramban raises a question, the tanoim oni darshan, the two chav sofisen from belech the chah, the chav sofis, and belech the chah. What about bishach b'chav kumecha? What about that chav sofis? Why didn't they darshan something on that? So he claims they did darshan. Bishach b'cha b'kum echa b'shev is b'shchiva didach or b'kima didach. What does it mean? That usually he says the dinim are established based on the roiv. That's this gemara. Even by din and nefashis, where there's a klal, the yitzilahu eido, that you bend over backwards when you darshan the psukim always lahokka, like he said, Ben Saramar, Ben Veloyav. So he said, not only if he's a father, Ben Veloha Roiv Krosoav. After 3 months, I would have said, if his wife had a baby, then he doesn't have a din of Ben Sarmah. No. If he could have theoretically had a baby, and if he could have made his wife pregnant, and it would have been Hukar Ruber after 3 months, that's also called Roy LaCrosse. We bend over backwards all the way like that. So there's only a 3 month window of opportunity to become a Ben Saramara. Only the Shlosh Shel Chadash Marishayim. So the Gemara says, the cloud that Yidarshim Psukim, based on a roiv, is so strong, it even beats out the klal of Yitzil Hueda, that should always darshan the hakel, because in the days of the Gemara, they assume that there are two pregnancies, that the 7 month pregnancy and 9 month pregnancy. We said the Ritvasa doesn't know what that means, but the Gemara assumed like that. So it's such a strong klal. So by Kriya Shema, we don't follow that klal. We say there's mana Kriya Shema. You can say Kriya Shema till El Tzov Gimel Shoes that Hushon B'nei Malachim wake up. How many B'nei Malachim are there in the whole wide world? Everybody, normal people, go to work till they retire, okay? But there are no B'nei Malachim. Any country has a king. What percentage of the population of B'nei Malachim? 0.00001. There are hundreds of people, thousands of people, millions of people in the world. How many are B'nei Malachim? The din is established by B'nai Malachim. And then the earliest time to say Kriya Shema is also B'nai Malach. Also this time, also the Miud B'nai Adam. B'shas HaTchak, you can say Kriya Shema after Alos HaShachar. Who's waking up at Alos HaShachar? So that's what the Ramban says, the Zmanim for the Chatchila and B'nieved, all the Zmanim depend on Miud B'nai Adam. Why is that? Because of the Chav Sofis, shift, what is it? B'shach b'cha b'kum echa is in the singular when the Miud B'nai Adam are going to sleep, when the Miud B'nai Adam are waking up. The Kriya Shema is different from Kol HaTarakula. Kol HaTarakula Dinam are established based on the Raif, and here by Kriya Shema it's based on the Miud. Anyway, so that's a din. That Shlosh HaChadoshim is considered Hukah Rubra, and it's relevant for the Dinam and Sarma. Then the Gemara has another din that if a woman is huka rubra, so we have the right to assume that she's musulak as damim. She's probably not going to have any damim, so the dinim of prisha samach levesas don't apply. And then when it's huka rubra, so the Gemara has a din that the pregnant women don't have to fast on a normal tainis, because they have the status to eat on Yom Kippur is a din deraisa. So you're only permitted to eat if there's a suffix sakana. But to eat on Tisha B'Av, you don't have to be a suffix sakana. Even a chodesh ein b'sakana is permitted to eat. So the Gemara says that what's a din in mubaris amenikas? A pregnant woman or a nursing mother, do they have the status of a chodesh ein b'sakana or not? So if they're throwing up all over the place, or if they have to lay in bed all day long, then by definition, if she can't function normally, she's falling to pieces, then she is a chayav l'shem b'sakana. So then she's allowed to eat even on Tisha B'Av. Not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur unless it's safek sakana. But on the other taneis, m'shavase b'tam, sam gedalia, beznes goes to tainis because of tziris gishamim. So then the Gemara says, mubaris amenikas, we automatically declare them all as a chayav l'shem b'sakana. So when is she considered the mubaris? She just became pregnant 2 days. She's pregnant 2 days or a week. So the Gemara says, we assume Shulchanach, Shlosha Chadashim. After 3 months, that's Hukar Rubra. Whether this din applies, Bizman, is that a Pashtus? It does not apply because the women take prenatal pills and postnatal pills. They're stronger than their husbands. They take so many pills to strengthen them. So the Pashtus says the din does not apply, Bizman, is that Chacham Avadya somehow ignores that. He assumes that all the din, nothing changed. What do you mean nothing changed? He asked all the pregnant women, everything changed. Pregnant women today are very strong. Anyway, so that's what the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk. Hey, Kim Mishlosh Chadashim, Bar Yuvel Lehudan. That is Hukar Ruber after 3 months. What do you mean, Hotziyuah V'Sisa Reif? What is that all about? So the Tur quotes, in the name of Rabbi Yudah Chosid, there's one of the novels in America, is The Scarlet Letter, that the woman was a prostitute by the pilgrims. So they burnt in her forehead a big letter A to stand for adulteress, that everyone should know that she's a prostitute. So that's what the Torah quotes the pshat from Abiyud HaChosid. Hotziyuah v'sisareif doesn't mean we're going to burn her. We're going to burn into her face a zayna, or whatever, a big A, the scarlet letter, yeah. The Gemara says how to oversee Sarev because Toma was Baskoyen Shezinsa. Baskoyen Shezinsa is Bisrefa. That's how the Gemara says. So the Gemara assumes that they were really going to kill her. They were really going to burn her alive. So she sent a message to her father-in-law, Yisha Sherei Lolo Anochi Haro. So she sends him, and then he realized that he's the one who made her pregnant. So why didn't she say, you're the one who made me pregnant? So the Gemara says, rather than be malvim p'nechadera b'rabim, it's better mutav that she should go and to give up her life. She should be burnt alive rather than to be malvim p'nechadera b'rabim. So Taisus has to kasha, how come in the Gemara? It's a Gemara site on the first period. So Taisa says on that Gemara, how come in Sanhedrin, on Daf Ein Gimel, when the Gemara said there's a din of Bihorig Val Yava by Avodizor Gehel Reis and Shvich Hazom, the Gemara should have said a fourth case by Malbim Penechaver by Rabim. That's also Yehorig Val Yava. You're not allowed to embarrass someone in public, even if it means that you're going to lose your life. So Taisa says the Gemara didn't have to say that because that's enough in a Pasuk in Chumash. Taisa takes the Gemara literally. That's a pasuk in Chumash, Hotziyuah v'Sisareif. So you see that the other three, Avodah Zarah, Gehel Reis v'Chazam, that's chidushim of the Torah Shebaal Peh, but this is the Torah Shebichzav. The Rambam never quotes that din. So Rabbi Elbala has in the He'oris on Saita, the Rambam must have understood the Gemara, that it's an agarata, it's an exaggeration about the significance of being malvim p'nechaver v'ram, but it's not really correct l'haloch. Rabbeinu Yoina in the Shari Tshuva has a suggestion that maybe the Gemara says, since when you're Malbin Penechaver Baram, why is it called Malbin? Because usually people have a rosy complexion because the blood is circulating. And if a person is embarrassed, all the blood goes out of his face and his face turns white. Like when a person is frightened, when he's scared, he turns white. So that's an Abizrayu of Shvichas Damim. Because if you're bleeding, we spoke just the other day, Malikot L'Kol and Malikot L'Palga, that Chayvil, if you do Chavol on Shabbos, so we assume, like Taisa, we said yesterday, I think there are three shittas, what's the Malach and Chavol? So we follow Taisa because that's what it says in the Yerushalmi, that Achrayim point out, that Chavol b'Shabbos is a form of Ntilas Shama, because Ke Adam Hu HaNefesh. So if you cause a person's face to turn white, that's an Abizrayu of Shvichas Domen. So the Rabbi Yair understands the Gemara also, that it's a real din. It's not an exaggeration of an agarata, it's a real din. But it didn't have to be listed there in Sanhedrin because it's an abizrayu of shvichas damin. That's a big question in Shulchan Aruch. How do we paskin? Do you say hoy bal yava ba abizrayus? They only say by gili arayus, or even by abizrayus of gili arayus. How far do you go? That was a famous case here in New York. A boy dated a girl. That was when I was dating. That was 60 years ago. So a boy took a girl on a Ferris wheel on a date, and then it was the end of the day. So everybody got off of the Ferris wheel. He didn't know it was the end of the day, and they stopped the electricity, and the fellow went home. The guy who was in charge of the Ferris wheel went home. So the boy and the girl were stuck there in the Ferris wheel. And then we're going to have to be there all night till the next morning, till the guy comes back. So the girl said, it's Anisa Yichud. So the boy said, so what do you suggest? They were up in the sky, going to get killed if he jumped down. The girl said, no, it's Yahar Yaber. It's Anisa Yichud. So the boy wasn't so concerned. He didn't have to commit suicide in order to avoid Anisa Yichud. So the girl started climbing down, and she fell down, and she broke her leg. So she sued the company. So in the court case that they had, so the judge said, if according to Jewish law she's mechuyev to go down, then they're mechuyev to pay her the damages. So she got a rabbi to testify that according to Jewish law, she was mechuyev to climb down, that it's Yahar Balyam. So that, it was written up in the lawyers have a separate newspaper where they write up legal cases. So that case was written up. He didn't marry that girl. He married someone else. So that's a steer in Shulchan Aruch between two siman. Kufn and Zayin is Yahar Balyaver, but I think between Kufn and Zayin, there's a steer in the Shachar Yipaskin, whether it's a machlekes in the Rishonim, in Sanhedrin, and the Sugya, and the Afayin Gimel, whether it's a Yahar Balyaver only on the Gimel Averis, or even on Abizrayu. So the Rabbeinu Yoina is of the opinion that you say Yahar Balyaver even on Abizrayu. And he says that that's why Malm Pnechaver Barabim didn't have to be mentioned. The din is that it is Yehorek Vayava, but that's an Abizrayo Shvichas Dom. The Medrash, so who was born? Peretz and Zerach. She had twins, Tam and Bitna. And David HaMelech is a descendant of Peretz. That's what it says in the end of Megillas Rus. So the Medrash Rabbah has a comment over here that Yaakov Avinu is crying that his son is dead. His son is alive. He's crying his son is dead. And Yehuda Meir, Yehuda Meyechov, the brothers he lost his respect from the brothers because all the brothers realized they did wrong. He's supposed to guide us. We would have listened to him if he would have said we shouldn't do anything with Yosef. We would have listened. And he came up with the pshar, they should sell him as a slave. So the brothers lost their respect for Yehuda. He heard Yehuda. And he got into trouble and so on. So the father is crying and the brothers are upset with Yehuda and the brothers. Everybody's upset over here. And when everybody's upset, all the human beings are upset. HaKadosh Baruch is preparing the Melech HaMashiach. That Peretz was born. And Peretz is going to be the ancestor of David HaMelech. Yeah. Yosef HaTzadik was apparently a very handsome guy. So Eshes Potiphar started up with him. And he was able to withstand the Nisoyan. But then it says one fine day, Yosef comes home, Lasos Malachto, and the Gemara is not sure. There are two opinions in the Gemara. What do you mean, Lasos Malachto? Means to have an affair with the woman? Well, Lasos Malachto, to do his work. But even if to do his work, he should have realized that he shouldn't have gone home. That Eshes Potiphar is there all the time. So the Pasuk is condemning him. If you know that there's a woman who's chasing after you and she's an Eshes Ish, you should run the other way. You shouldn't go. You shouldn't even be there at all. So then the last minute, there was nobody there. Enish Babayis, there's nobody in the house. So the Medrash understands the Musti Yutan Shalav and Nira Salov Bachalom. He visualizes as if the father is there. His father, Yankel Avinu, is there at the window. And he realized that if he's going to have an affair with this woman, he will lose his status as one of the shifteikah. So he was able to withstand it, and he ran away. After Rav Moshe Soloveitchik passed away, so Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yosher Ben Soloveitchik, delivered a hesped for his father, and he considered his father Ish Halacha. That's the name of the hesped. So he wrote in the beginning of the hesped, the Musti Yukna Shalav Nira Salo Bachalom. So some of the thinkers were trying to figure out what Avera was Rabbi Soloveitchik planning to violate that he had to see his father. No, he's just saying the Musti Yukna. He's giving a description of his father. It didn't mean he's planning to do an Avera. We all have a tremendous... We're all descendants from Avraham Yitzchak Yankov, and over all the generations, there were so many tzaddikim, and everyone's ancestry, all the Jewish people have tremendous yichas. We should all realize that we have a lot to live up to. Then Yosef interprets the dream of the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOifim, and Yosef requests of the Sar HaOifim that when he'll be released, the Sar HaMashkim, the Sar HaOifim was killed, when the Sar HaMashkim will be released, you should remember me to get me out of this prison. So the Medrash condemns Yosef for doing that. He shouldn't have asked. He should have had bitochen. What's the avera? The guy's stuck in prison and he wants to get out. So different suggestions are given. What was so bad? And he was punished. That's how the Medrash understands. He was punished that he has to stay in prison another 2 years. And after the 2 years were up, then Parah had the chalom and need someone who can interpret the chalom. The 2 years were up. So then it was time for him to go free. So that's why Parah had the chalom. Usually we assume what's the cause and what's the effect. In the beginning of Parshas Miketz, the cause precedes the effect. So the cause is that Parah had a chalom, and no one knew how to interpret it. So then the effect was, they remembered, the Sar HaMashkim remembered that Yosef interpreted his dream, so they got him out of prison. So the Medrash understands everything fakert, that the cause was that the 2 years of punishment were up, so it's time to get Yosef out of the prison. And the effect was that Parah had a chalom, and Mamela, he got him out of prison. The cause doesn't always have to precede the effect. Sometimes things happen because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to lead to a certain point. It's not always true that the cause precedes it. Here the cause was that it was time for Yosef to get out of the prison. So the effect was that Parah had a chalom. That's how the Medrash interprets. I remember there used to be a Rebbe here in Yeshiva when I was a student, Rebbe Shimon Rom. He used to be the rabbi in a shul here also, in the Adi Behuda congregation, used to be in the neighborhood. So he was from the Miri Yeshiva. And after, in the middle of the war, everyone had to go to save their lives. So he went to Mozambique. Apparently that's a country in Africa. He said no one knows why Mozambique existed. The only reason why it exists is to save the refugees from the Muhammad. They had a place in the world to go. No other country in the world would take them in. So he was nitzel to Mozambique, and then he stayed there for a while. Then he went to Eretz Yisrael. And then years later, he came to New York, and he was friendly with Dr. Belkin, so he gave a shiur in the yeshiva. So he said when he lived in Eretz Yisrael, he used to learn b'charusa with Rabbi Shmuel Hillman. Shmuel Hillman had learned in Tells the yeshiva in Europe and Lithuania. And then he was a rabbi in Leeds, I think, some village in northern England. And Rabbi Lezer Gordon, who was known as Rabbi Lezer Telzer, had a heart condition. He was not healthy at all, and he had to go raise money for the Telzer yeshiva. So the doctor told him he's not allowed to travel. He's too sick to travel. He had no choice. So he traveled to London to raise money, and he died before he raised any money. And he was buried in London. And all of his relatives, for years, they never visited his grave. He was buried in London. years later, when they were all established, all of his descendants were established, and then they could afford it. And then they started going to this. I remember once I visited in London with my wife, so my wife went with my sister-in-law, who's married to one of the gifters. So they went to visit Rav Lezer Telzer's kever there. But for years, no one was visiting. So the Rabbanim, and when he died, the Rabbanim needed someone who knew Rav Lezer Telzer to say a hespitz. And the only one who knew him, they all heard of him, but they didn't know him personally. So this Rabbi Hillman, who was a rabbi in a little village, he was a Telzer, so he delivered the hespitz. The Rabbi Roma tell over every year on Parshas Vayeshev, the hespit that Rabbi Hillman said. So he was speaking about how great Rabbi Lezer Telzer was, and then he concluded the hespit. Maybe it was the Parshas HaShavua, I don't know. He concluded the hespit by saying, "Ki gunov gunavtem the eretz ha'irim gampolo asisim him ki somo osi babor." So the Parshas Pshat is that Yosef says, "I was kidnapped, I was hijacked from Eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael, and then they sold me into slavery, and then they put me in prison over here." So he concluded his hesped by saying, "Gunov gunavtem the Eretz Yisrael." He was speaking Yiddish in the hesped. So he said, "Chabzach arayz gigamvit." I snuck out from the Eretz Yisrael, from Lithuania, where all the Jews live. "Gunov gunavt chabzach arayz gigamvit" from the Litha. "The gampolo asisim miyuma," and I didn't succeed in raising a penny. And now kisamo osi babor. Now they're going to bury me 6 feet under. So the balabatim heard the hesped, thought that's gewaldic, such a, you know how to say a vertel. So they appoint him as the chief dayan in London because of that hesped. And he was later on. He was the father-in-law of Rabbi Herzog. Chief Rabbi Herzog married his daughter. So. Rabbi Herzog's son, the one who passed away, had the son who was, maybe by now they both passed away. Yeah, they both passed away. So he had one son who was a Talmid Chacham. So he wrote a biography of the father. So he writes off, he starts the biography by writing how his parents met, that there was a Shnas Batzoris in England. There wasn't enough food to eat. There wasn't enough grain to make matzahs to eat food. So whenever, traditionally, whenever there's a Shnas Batzoris, so the Chachamim, the Rabbanim get together, and they usually allow kitnias. Whenever there's a Shas HaTzchak, they allow the people to eat kitnias. So Rabbi Hillman sent letters to all the Rabbanim in England and in Scotland and in Ireland that they should all come. He wants to have a meeting in his home. So Rabbi Herzog was a rabbi in Ireland, I think, originally. And he was a bacher. So he came to the meeting. So Rabbi Hillman asked his daughter, Sarah, she should serve tea to all of the Rabbanim. So she was so taken by Rabbi Herzog. He was such a good-looking guy, and he was dressed so nicely. So when she was pouring the tea, she poured it on his trousers. She wasn't looking. She was looking at him. Instead of pouring the tea in the cup, she poured it on his pants. And he was taken by her. It was love at first sight. So that's how the parents met. That's how it began. So this Rabbi Hillman, later on, when he retired to Eretz Yisrael, that's what, in London, that's for many years, that's what happens. When the chief dayan in London retires, he goes to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky also, when he retired, he went to Eretz Yisrael. He started a new career there. He was giving shiurim in Slobodka for years, and he was in Yerushalayim, he gave shiurim for years. Dayan Grosnas also, when he retired, also made a kollel in Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Hillman also. Rabbi Hillman had the wealthy balabatim in London were very respectful of him. So when he retired in Eretz Yisrael, he had a kollel. He had big talmid chachamim in his kollel. He had Rabbi Yashiv, and he had all the young gedolim from the next generation learned in his kollel. Okay, you should all have a good Shabbos. I'm going out of town. So I'm not going to be here on Sunday, but I plan to come back on Monday morning. Okay.
Is anybody able to take this on a CD?